Thank you, Father God, for this lovely day that we can come and draw alongside you and be refreshed by you in word, in song, in prayer, and in just listening to your word. Do pray that you will open our hearts and minds to receive from you what you want to give us tonight. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Amen. I brought my hymn book with me because I'm one of those strange people that wasn't brought up in the church. So when I sing old hymns like this, this is the first time I sung this hymn but I was just really struck by the verse 3 of the hymn we just sung. It said, "Restore the happiness I knew when I first saw the Lord. Refresh me with a radiant view of Jesus and his word." And I thought that's lovely words, because sometimes when we go through our Christian life, we can get a little bit stale. We get a little bit stale. We need a bit of refreshing. Maybe not with a deluge of water, but maybe a deluge of God's goodness into us. And then we come to this lovely psalm, and Nick in his wisdom has called this series of evening talks Praise Academy. And I think to learn how we should praise God is a lovely thing for anyone in any stage of life to learn, to come to this beautiful Psalm 145, a Psalm of David, a Psalm of praise, a wonderful Psalm of praise. This is one of those lovely psalms that we miss out on in the English, because it's one of those psalms in Hebrew would have each of the verses in order, would go through the alphabet of the Hebrew alphabet one by one. And I think that's a lovely thing. We miss out on that, don't we? When we translate into English, we don't get the same impact. But that must have been a lovely thing to remember as they came to praise their God and our God together. So then I thought, I haven't preached on a psalm for a little while, and I was looking at this psalm. I thought, how do I find a message to bring you tonight in this psalm? I could just read the psalm and say, "The Lord's blessing be upon this psalm," and sit down. Maybe that would be a good idea, mightn't it, for everyone. But there is a message in here. So the outline where I'm going to tonight is verse 1 to 7, God is King. Verses 8 to 13, the King's character. Verse 14 to 20, the King's care. And verse 21, all will praise him. So that's where I'm going to try to go. I warn you beforehand, because sometimes I get sidetracked, so you can just say, okay, I know where Kenny was meant to go, and hopefully we'll all meet at the end. So this is a great song of God's majesty and love for his people. And it's interesting, when I'm preparing this, the psalm is all about praising our great God. And I was a little bit sidetracked on my preparation. And I wrote down on a big piece of paper all the names of God, just to see how great God is. And I went through the Bible, went through some commentaries, and had a big list of names of God. Then when it gets a bit weird in my thinking, because then I thought, well, what are the names of Allah? Because we have lots of teaching about Muslims we hear on the news. And so I thought I'll write a list beside that of the names of Allah and see what happens. And so I had these names of Allah on one side and the names of God on the other side. It was a completely different list. There's not much to praise God in the other list, but much in the list that we find in the Bible. Another little question before I got into the study, I asked myself, what exactly do we mean by praise? There's a Christian word, isn't it? We often use, we say, oh, praise the Lord. If someone tells you good news, oh, praise the Lord. And we use it quite often, but what is praise? What do we mean by praise? And I found this lovely little definition. I thought it was interesting. It says, praise is to give warm approval. I like that. Praise is to give warm approval. So to praise God is much more than just singing nice songs. I'm pleased we got the nice, we can sing songs tonight. But praise is much, much more than just singing our favourite songs and favourite hymns. It's a response, and that's what we're going to look at in the psalm. It's a response of God, of who God really is. And our response to that comes praise. So praise should be the whole of our lives, Monday to Sunday and everywhere in between. It's not just save it up for Sundays or Wednesday prayer meetings or whenever you have your home group. So let's have a look at this talk and let's break it down a little bit. Verses 1 to 7. Who is God? God is King, it says very clearly. I will exalt you, my God, the King. Isn't that a wonderful place to start? To focus. Where do we focus our praise? In this psalm, we focus directly up to God as King. King means complete and absolute ruler over every part of our lives. And it goes on to say, I will praise your name forever and ever. There's that word name. It's very important. This, in our day and age, more so. We have many people claim they know God's name. And it says, well, I will praise your name forever and ever. Let us, hopefully, we'll find out who this God is through this psalm. And what is his name? So we praise him daily. It says, I will praise him. God is great. He's our King. We are not so great. I'm sorry to burst anyone's bubble tonight. They might think they're very great. But God is great. We are not. He's worthy of all our praise. We are not. You know, some people like to be praised by others. You do things and they stand back and wait for the praise of others. But God is the one who's greatly to be praised. Verse 2 and 3, it says, we should praise him every day. Every day I will praise you. That's got every day there, and that's not just Sundays. It says every day I will praise you. See, God blesses us every day. So we should praise him every day. It works, doesn't it? If God's going to bless us, we should praise him. Daily blessings, daily praise. We exalt him. We exalt him. We ascribe the highest praise to our God. Verse 4 goes on, one generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. See, by praising God daily, we should pass it on to the next generation. I'm very wary of that when you have teenagers in the house, to make sure they understand God is not just about someone who locked them in the building in Holy Trinity and on Sunday we lock the doors and say, goodbye God, I'll see you next Sunday. We might let you out on next Wednesday because we got a prayer meeting, so we'll see you then. But we should take God with us daily, and daily we should praise him, and daily we need to show the next generation how involved God is in this world around us, even as in the tragedies and the sadness that we see happening in London, in Manchester, in Egypt, and all over the world. We need to talk and have honest discussions with people that this God is great. And he's greatly to be praised. We might not understand what's happening, but we still should praise him. Next generation should praise him. Verse 5 goes on to say, they will speak of your glorious splendor, of your majesty. See, he is a God who is splendor. He has majesty. I will meditate on your wonderful works. Do you do that? Do you just stop sometimes and just, does it just get hold of you? How wonderful God is, the things he done. I miss it living up here, but I still find some place I can do this. But I used to love going down to the beach. I can't go down to the beach here because Dudley Canal doesn't have a beach. But anyway, I used to love sitting on the beach and hearing the waves coming up, and then it draws back across the pebbles. And you can hear that sound. And I just wonder at the wonderful God we have. And the cliffs around Dorset are so wonderful. We have golden cliffs in Dorset, not white cliffs. God decided they'll do something a little bit special in Dorset and painted the cliffs golden. Wonderful cliffs, just golden in the sunlight. We can see a glimpse of God. And it's good to pass on to generations to come, not Mother Nature, but the Creator God who made this. And they have wonder and praise of this glorious God. Verse 7 goes on to say, we celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. Isn't that wonderful? Beautiful. So what is this character like of this king? We go into verse 8 and down to verse 13. We get a little glimpse of this king's character. He's compassionate. Aren't you pleased that we worship a God who is compassionate? So little compassion we see in this world. So little compassion. It's revenge. It's all about me getting my way. But we come to a king who is compassionate. Compassionate. And in this lovely verse it says, the Lord is gracious. He's gracious and compassionate. And if that's not enough to wrap us up in praise and adoration, then it gives us a little bit more to think about. It says slow to anger and rich in love. Wow. That's so good with what's happening around us to know that a God is gracious and compassionate, and he's slow to get angry, but rich in love. So many people I meet are often rich in anger and very slow to love. But it's so nice to have a God who is slow to be angry and rich in love. Then it goes on, if we can't hardly take this in, because I couldn't take this in, verse 9 unwraps it a little bit more. He said, the Lord is good to me. No, sorry, it says, the Lord is good to all. All. Even those who hurt us. Even those who really annoy us. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. So this king we worship, this king's character, he's a compassionate God, a loving God, but also now we see that he's a creator God. He's a king who created us, me, you, and this world. He has compassion on all he has made. And there's that lovely verse in verse 9. It says, the Lord is good to all. Lord is good to all. We should praise him then. Not because we are told to. Not because it's a praise service tonight. You know, you see those outside, we're going to praise God tonight. You come in here and we can praise God tonight. But praising God in this psalm is about an overflow. It's an overflow, it's a reaction to who God is. It's not something we tack on as an optional extra. It's something we flow out of us because of God's goodness. So he doesn't sit there and say, you must praise me. We almost say, we can't do anything but praise God because of who you are. That's true praise when it comes from within. Verse 13, it talks about his kingdom. This king's kingdom is that your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your domain endures through all generation. So the king's character is everlasting. He's an everlasting king with an everlasting kingdom, everlasting dominion, and it lasts throughout generation. A gracious ruling king. Wouldn't it be sad if we were the last generation to worship God? But it would never happen if we do our job properly in passing it on to others. That's not relying on people who are officially meant to do that. Youth workers, Nick and all the people like that. But we, each one of us, pass it on to the children that God has given us in our lives. That might be our real children, or it might be the children that come in contact with us that God has given us to mentor, to disciple, to pass on that good news to. See, it should not stop with us. It should pass on to the next generation, to the next generation, and so on. So now if we walk into his care, what sort of care does this king give to us? We looked a little about who he is. We looked about his character. Now from 14 to 20, we learn a little bit about how he cares for his people. Verses 14 to 20. He is a king. He is creator. He is God who upholds all who fall. Got that? It says in verse 14, the Lord upholds all those who fall. He lifts up all who are bowed down. Isn't it nice to know that God cares for the one who have fallen? Don't think literally fallen, but whatever way you might feel fallen or broken, God is a God who lifts us up. It goes on to verse 15. The eyes of all look to you. Are we looking to God? I like the word constantly in this, is the word all. It's all inclusive. It's not just one or another. It's all of us. So get the word all and include your name into that too. So the king helps the weak. He is the God of the weak. He is the God of the broken. He's the lifter of our souls. He is the creator. And he's the provider. I love the way the NIV has put it. He said, and give them their food at the proper time. Isn't that wonderful? Not when we demanding that we be fed, but at the proper time, at the right time, when God will provide for all our needs. And it says, you open your hand and who satisfy the desires of every living thing. Every living thing. You open your hand and satisfy. So he doesn't only give a little. And you're sitting there thinking, it's not bad, thank you. But it's full satisfaction. It's no, you don't need anything more. He's given you everything you need. And you should be and he will be satisfied by what he gives. So he gives generously. He's a generous king. All our desires are met in him. He is righteous in all his ways. So you can trust him. You can trust him. He's loving to all. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all he has made. And I love verse 18. It says, the Lord is near to all. There's all these alls who call on him. So do you call on God? Some people say, oh, the Lord doesn't feel near to me these days. Have you called on him? Do you call on him daily? Do you just do that desperate prayer? Some people say, oh Lord, help me. He will. There's a lovely old gospel song that says, Jesus is just a prayer away. So the Lord is near to all who call on him. So if he's not near to you, perhaps you should call and he will answer. Because it says, to all who call on him in truth. So be truthful. Be honest to him. He hears their cries and saves them. So the Lord will hear. He will save. He will watch over. This is my king. This is my God. Is this your king? Is this your God you trust? Is this the God that we can praise? There's a lot here for us to turn into praise and adoration to God for who he is. I love the idea of the Lord watching over me. Sometimes I feel very lonely. I feel like nobody really understands. You have a conversation with people and you feel, did they really hear me? Does anyone really understand me? But you know that the Lord hears. And he's right there watching over you. But all the wicked he will destroy. So one day, all this wickedness around us will be destroyed. That's good news. And I'm glad verse 21 is there in my Bible and in yours. I hope it's still there. Because it says, my mouth will speak in praise to the Lord. Then this is the exciting bit. It says, let every creature praise his holy name for Sunday after Sunday. No, it says forever and ever. So we should praise his holy name. Not just a name, but his holy name. Did you get that in this... In the NIV, Lord is spelt with capital. And Lord capital in it means Yahweh. So Yahweh, corrupted Yahweh is Jehovah, so we won't go there. That's another discussion. But we praise his name, Yahweh, his holy name, forever and ever. His name is Yahweh. It's not Jehovah, it's not Allah, it is Yahweh, our holy God, that we worship and we praise and we adore. For not for just a few days, but forever and ever, we praise his name. So let's just pause, reflect on this king that we came to at the beginning. Let's think about who he is, his character and his care. And let's just pause and thank him for who he is. And then I'll just close with a word of prayer. It's just a few moments just to praise him quietly in our hearts. Thank you, Father, that my mouth will speak of your praise. My mouth will praise you, Lord. Lord, every creation, every creator will, creature will praise you one day. Some willingly, some unwillingly. Forever and ever we will praise you. Lord, let us get into the habit of daily praising you. To thank you for who you are, that you are the God who can be trusted, the God who is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. Lord, when we see this world, there's very little we can praise for. But when we look to you, there's so much we can praise you for. You made this beautiful world, and we go around breaking it, harming it, hurting your people. Lord, have mercy, and let us truly worship, adore, and praise you. Thank you, Father God, for these few moments that we can look into your word. Refresh our souls, I pray.